breathtaking. I understand your fascination with him. I understand completely. She's perfect somehow, isn't she? More than perfect. More than human. Her eyes seem to reach right beneath your skin and touch your organs. And touch your stomach, your lungs. Gives me the shivers. As you can see, we have several options available. Each was acquired from Miss Geist directly. If I thought your interest was only passing, there are any number of loan packages I could offer. However, you strike me as a man whose involvement runs a little deeper than that. I see you as a man of taste.
Coming at you from the 245 Trioxin Studios, this is Return of the Living Podcast.
Hello, everybody out there in Radio Land. We are your hosts. And back once again with the Return Living Podcast.
Well, almost back. We're still missing one of the original.
Yeah, three. I apologize for not being here, but I have a new job and have been in training. So
you had
I'm
two.
Sorry. I had two jobs.
You had two jobs.
That's beyond the point. And let's be honest, nobody out there fucking cared that I wasn't here. They loved the fact that they could listen to Jared bitch about me not watching movies. Thanks, Jared. Think I don't listen to the fucking show, you prick? I do.
Comic books.
Anyway, we're back with another episode of Return Living Podcast. I am your host, Corker Patrick.
And I'm Brad Banforth.
And in the studio today, we have two people. Before we get to that, I'd like to throw a shout out to David Alan Greer, because we should always talk about David Alan Greer.
Yes, indeed.
And his amazing portrayal in such movies as Jumanji and Tales from the Hood.
I just watched Jumanji last week with my kids.
Really? Yeah. Such a fucked up film.
Don't forget about Honeydew Wilkins.
And Honeydew Wilkins. There you go. The Captain Sonny's here.
What's up?
And we have a newcomer, another one of my friends, because why not have more of my friends on here? Matt Turner's episode, one of the most listened to episodes we've ever had. So I guess he needs to come back on again soon. Well, Matt, you prick.
Let's bring him back down to earth a little bit. One of the most listened to episodes on our new hosting site.
Well, it still says a lot.
It still says a lot, yes.
It does still say quite a bit.
I don't want Matt's head to get any bigger.
But he has a big dick. Not that I know. No homo.
So he says.
My good friend Pugs with a Z.
I'm not going to be anywhere near as popular as Matt, but thank you for
Well, to be fair, he was popular because he whored himself on Facebook and got all of his friends to listen to it.
I'm too lazy to do that.
Just have Matt whore you out on Facebook. You have the same friends.
You are going to have to lean in a lot closer.
Sorry.
There you go.
Is that better?
That's a lot better. But
yeah, just have him whore you out because you have the same fucking friends.
For the most part, yeah.
So there you go. Yeah. See, it all works out in the end. Jared currently is in another home away from home, Midwest Haunters.
He's at home washing his tights.
or in Columbus at a haunted house convention, either which way. He's probably hammered drunk right now. I think they got the passes for the tour. I think they're going to Scare Factory tonight. So if anybody out there is listening, like Scare Factory and went on the MHS or MHC tour, congratulations. If you see Jared, I hope you kicked him in the dick.
Yeah, we miss Jared. I wanted to give him my digital recorder and stuff. Maybe he can...
He wasn't doing shit
there,
while he was up there. Let's be honest.
He probably would be too wasted to even.
Last year we went up there, I had to get all the interviews because Jared's like, it's pointless. And I was like, I'll still get interviews. And if you listen.
Why is it pointless?
Go ahead and listen to last year's MHC. Every interview, I'm the one doing it.
I have to go back and double check that.
I think the only one he's actually on is the Grave TV. Because
was he on the Tristan from Flatline Radio interview last year from MHC?
I don't know. I can't remember. I feel like I did them all. I'm probably wrong, and he's going to get pissed at me, but I did them all.
I just know, sitting at home, that I was looking forward to all your video updates, and you did one, and that was it, and it was with Tater, so I was happy.
Yeah. Well, it was just like, we did all the video updates from Transworld. The reason we did that is because there's so many animatronics and just cool shit. And MHC last year was just, I'm not going to say it sucked because it really didn't. It was just that it's for a lot more home hunt and yard hunt and stuff like that, but on a bigger scale. So there was a lot of like a lot of your makeup companies weren't there at all. I think Graftobium was and Wolfie. You had Foggy's Frog was there. Master Fog had like no display whatsoever, but Froggy's did their entire get up because it's Tater and Froggy and all of them and their fuckers. A lot of like your mask companies.
Term of endearment, by the way.
Exactly. A lot of your mask companies weren't there. I think Alan Hopps was there with his company. And then one of the most popular companies there was a booth that literally just had these giant boxes full of foam latex appliances that were their Oops ones, and they were like 3 for $15, which normally are like $20-$30 a piece.
Right.
And it's like missing an ear or this didn't pour right, it had bubbles, stuff like that. And that was the most popular booth there. And I hate the fact I didn't buy shit. But this year it got taken over by the trans world people. So, and just from the layout I saw online, it looks like it doubled, even tripled in size this year. So, yeah.
So anyway, we'll get a full report from MAC from Jared, or at least of what he can remember when he gets back from the next.
I've been looking at the updates through Fear Fair. Their liquor hall was an entire U-boat full of beer.
Yeah.
And then people were making jello shots to take up, test tube shooters to take up. And if it's anything like last year, the first stop from the haunt was at the liquor store so we could get alcohol to drink on the way up.
I just know that I saw a picture of a whole cart full of alcohol. Yep. And it said, I hope this can get us through a night or two.
Yeah. So. And the sad part is, there's no guarantee of that with them.
That's true.
When we went on the pre-haunt tour last year, we went to Haunted Hoochie, which is phenomenal. Get a chance, go. And what is it, Area 51? It's like Area 51 or something like that. It's a special effects studio. And when we got to the special effects studio, we had already went through like 3 or 4 fifths of vodka whiskey, a fifth of Jaeger. We already went through 3 cases of beer. And this is on Friday. And it's nothing but Fear Fair people. When we left that place to go to Haunted Hoochie, we somehow picked up like 23 people. And that's when the lights came on and the stripper pole started being used. And yeah. So that's how it may or may not make them through a night. So, and I'm sure Leonard Pickle is somewhere hammer drunk already. Just saying.
All right. Let's get into the whole meat of why we're here for tonight.
Penis?
Small ones.
Not me.
Small ones.
Come on, Pucks. You know you've seen a penis or two in your life.
The thumb.
I've seen a couple.
He calls his penis the thumb.
But
the thumb.
I didn't like it very
see
much.
See that? There's Brad's thumb.
The thumb, baby.
Yeah, I didn't like it very much, but I have seen a couple in my lifetime, yes.
I know Sonny hates holding his own because it makes him feel gay.
Gayest thing I do every day.
So there you go. No offense to any gay people out there, at least from our point of view.
It's meant to be offensive. I don't care if you don't like it.
The views of captains, not necessarily the view of those of the Return of Living podcast.
Side note. Today on my Facebook, I said, show me some love. And a lot of dudes on my Facebook gave me the wrong kind of love I was not expecting, including Brad. I was shocked by what he said. He said, I quote, I hope to see you tonight, like a desperate, ugly girl waiting for her date at the door. Here I am, just for you, man.
What did I say?
Back to you.
What did I say?
You tell him what you told.
My exact thing was, I refused because the last time I showed him some love, I got a rash that I still can't get rid of.
See? I could have done that.
I just said, you ain't saying nothing.
Well, I'm bringing the love back to you tonight, being right here in the studio.
That's right. All right.
Because I have to pull him here every time. I'm like, hey, this is how our conversation goes. We're recording this weekend. What time? Here. What's the topic? This. Pick me up. I mean, it's so hard to get him here. It's not funny.
Well, tonight we're talking the overuse of disease films.
Oh, yeah, man. I love zombie films.
Yeah, it's pretty much every zombie film that's ever been made in the last decade.
To be fair, I'm pretty sure Romero still hasn't quite said what his films are, like how the zombies were made. I know in the 90s remake of Night of the Living Dead that Savini did, they kind of hinted that there was a meteor crash, that it flew kind of close to Earth. But I'm pretty sure throughout the Romero films, they've still never really said it.
The original, I think the explanation was a space probe circling Venus let off radiation or something.
Oh, yeah? Well, I don't remember that.
That's what they said on the news broadcast when he was
watching. Oh, really?
The news, yeah.
There you go.
But when has the media ever been right about a whole epidemic going on?
It's true.
Remember the bubble boy floating around? No boy inside the bubble. Wasted an hour. Wasted an hour and a half of my life.
However, not too long ago, there was a jumpy house that some winds hit, and like it like shot the thing up there, and there was like three or four kids in it. And like it was like went 20, 30 feet in the air, and then the kids fell out, and they all got hurt really bad, and we're not going to laugh about it.
It was like the one I saw on Facebook today with the water slide. Did you see like the, it was like a 20-story water slide or something that was shooting people into the air.
Yeah, they're like, it's fake.
It was bullshit. Yeah.
I wish. That'd be epic. Like, yeah.
That's at a, that's an amusement park.
That was like Kansas. Yeah. Somewhere in Kansas.
Yeah, Kansas City. Yeah.
Amusement park.
But they said it was fake. They're like, we've only sent sandbags and accelerometers down. No people have been shot off it.
But we don't miss him.
Tony, the town retard.
He was already a gimp before he went down.
But no, yeah, no. But virus films.
Modern zombie films always seem to have some sort of viral outbreak.
Here's the thing, is I went online before we got on, and I started looking up lists of viral films, and 28 weeks and 28 days, 28 whatever fucks you want to call it later, is always like, there was even one that said...
28 weeks of Sandra Bullock film?
That's right. 28 fucks later. They even said on one non-zombie films, and I went, okay, this is a good one. And yet 28 weeks and 28 days later are both on there. Is it not a zombie film? I'm sorry. Like, me and Jared had this argument that I said that 28 days later is one of the worst zombie films I've ever seen because they put too much thought into it. And even he was like, it's not really a zombie film. If anybody out there can explain to me how it's not a zombie film, please do. And I know you're going to have some bullshit answer because you're a 28 days or 28 weeks later fanboy.
They're not really zombies. They just made them go crazy, like the movie The Crazy.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably something that's going to happen. I guarantee it. So if you have something that's not that answer, please comment. Let me know. How is it a zombie, or how is it not a zombie movie? Because I can think of just a couple off the top of my head that aren't zombie movies that are both, that are also disease films. Resident Evil's another one that comes up a lot because they're like, it's the T-virus. Yeah, that turns them into zombies. What there's Nemesis and the Lickers and the this and the spiders in the game. And yeah, but they're zombies. Sorry.
So what are some viral outbreak films that aren't zombie films?
Cell Count. We had talked about. We talked to Todd Freeman.
We did.
And he was very much, even he said that, I believe in his interview, he said that he was tired of viral films always going the zombie route. So... Cell Count, if you don't know it, look it up.
It's we're actually going to be talking to Todd again sometime soon as he gets closer to Lovesick with a very, very special guest, which I won't mention because it's what we call the tease, but it'll be the biggest name that we've ever been fortunate enough to get on our show.
That's right, David Alan Greer. See, I already mentioned it.
Oh, man.
I would totally freak over that.
Miguel Brad, Nunez.
Brad, you have a
man.
That's right. Actually, true story, he came to Fright Night, I think, last year.
And I was pissed that I didn't get the chance to go.
Well, the funny part was, I saw a copy of Juana Man, and I was like, and I told Kimber this, I said, I'm half tempted to buy this. Literally, pay into Fright Film Fest just to pay for to have that autographed and give it to Brad as a Christmas
Juana
present.
How much was Juana Man, though, on
it was like five
DVD,
bucks.
Like VHS?
$5. I think it was at like half-price books for $5, and I was like,
Yeah, that's not bad.
But
he's been in a lot of movies I've liked.
And he might be in one of the very few zombie movies that's not a disease movie.
That's right. Yeah. Our namesake, baby.
That's right. Return of the Living Dead. I actually saw it on a list recently that was part of the worst 80 films of all time.
What?
Bollocks.
Yep. It was number one as the worst movie that came out of the 80s. Wait.
That is the Footloose of 80s horror zombie movies.
Yeah.
Who wrote it?
I don't remember. It was on Facebook. Somebody had like shared a link and I was like, "Oh, 10 80s movies that should have been forgotten." Number one was Return of the Living Dead. They're like, "This has such a cult following and we don't know why. It's shitty acting, shitty
because
writing and shitty
amazing.
Music."
Was it just horror movies on the list or like all movies?
No, it was just horror.
Okay, I was going to say, "Say anything." Yeah. Terrible.
Cuz number 3 was Killer Clowns from Outer Space. I feel like number 2 was Night of the Creeps. And I was like, "How the fuck is this list a thing?"
The reason it's a cult classic, simple. Two words. Miguel Nunez. Anything he's in turns to freaking gold. Life, Eddie Murphy, Martin Lawrence, he's the real star in that
Slam
film.
Slam dunk Ernest.
There you go. I can dig it.
I like how he always plays a black guy even though he's not black. That's the funniest part. He's Puerto Rican.
That's right. He's just given the name Nunez.
A very convincing black guy. So, and
what
a woman.
What else is
Juana Man.
I need more Miguel Nunez in my life. I think I have Life. That is the only Miguel Nunez film that I currently own, and that is depressing.
Well, my favorite part about him and More Brains is that the girl, the main lead girl, the outfit she's wearing is apparently what he was wearing the day of his audition.
Yeah.
The white, like, jumpsuit.
Nice.
With the pink tie and around
then,
the waist.
And then whoever it is that did all the animation and stuff for that documentary decided to draw up Miguel Nunez in that outfit. Oh, it's good. I'll tell you about it. It's really good. But let's get David Alan Grier on the show. That's going to be your mission. Find a way to get David Alan Grier on the show so he can scream like a fanboy.
Yes, take to Twitter, whatever you got to do. Find that man.
Is he on Twitter?
Well, I'm sure
he is.
Is he
on Twitter?
Yeah, I don't know. We can do a Tales from the Hood episode. Why not?
That would be awesome.
Have you seen Tales from the Hood?
It's been a long time.
Oh, such a great movie.
Okay. Awesome. All right. Corey, you're our Twitter expert, and you're back on Twitter because I realized our password got changed again.
Yes. Can we tell you the password?
No.
Okay.
You're on David Alan Grier duty and Miguel Nunez duty.
I forgot that he's in Friday the 13th 5. He gets killed in the shit box while he's singing to his girlfriend.
It's true. It happens.
So.
What's he singing?
This is the most bizarre episode we've done in a long time.
Damn it, I've already forgot our password.
Hey, Miguel Nunez was in Leprechaun 4 in space. Nutty Professor 2, the clumps. Apparently he was in Scooby-Doo.
Okay.
The Adventures of Pluto Nash. Kicking it old school, S-K-O-O-L.
True. Wow.
And apparently he played a transvestite prostitute on Blue Mountain State.
We're just not on topic at all. Which is
by the way, here it is. I just tweeted David Alan Grier to be on our show. It is. Just happened.
Don't let me down, David Alan Grier.
Please come on the show.
All right. So
everybody go tweet David Alan Grier.
Chocolate News reunion right here on this show.
I just want to talk about Tales from the Hood.
Oh, okay. Let's try to bring this back on the res a little bit. Because, as you can tell, we're completely unprepared for this show.
Hey, no. I like David Alan Grier.
I never said I didn't like David Alan Grier, but we're supposed to be talking disease films. We've talked about disease films for 3 seconds.
It's because they suck.
That's true.
Except for
let's just talk about
my favorite
Miguel Nunez and David Alan Grier movies on this whole episode.
Well, let's talk Jumanji.
Real quick. All right.
Is Jumanji a disease film?
No.
There's a disease in it, right? The mosquitoes, right?
Mosquitoes are scary.
I think they just stabbed you in the heart with their giant, like, stingers. I don't think it was really a disease.
Yeah, they were the size of, like, parrots.
I did.
Timing. Go ahead.
Probably. It's all right.
And you know why? Because Jared's not here.
Well, you invited me.
No,
that's
why. Not true. It's just... I didn't think we were actually going to be recording tonight. I'd given up that we were recording.
That's all right. I had to work.
That's all right.
I apologize to everyone.
It's not a problem. Here, let me just throw this out there, okay? Is the whole reason I want to talk to disease films is because they are so over-cliched. And as we said earlier, every zombie film made in the last 10, 15 years has started because of a viral outbreak. And I'd like to find other films that use viral outbreaks differently. You mentioned Cell Count. That's a good one. And like I said, Todd Freeman is brilliant and brilliant storyteller. And, you know, we all were big fans of that film. I recently found one on Netflix that is it the best film I've ever seen? As I mentioned with the found footage film that we talked about a couple of weeks ago, it's not the greatest film I've ever seen, but as far as originality, I find it fascinating, and it's something that I believe we're not that far away from actually having come true, and that is a movie called Antiviral. We are completely, well, I'm using the term we as a society in general, not necessarily me or any of you, but we as a society are incredibly fascinated, way too fascinated with celebrity.
Hey, man, I'm going to pull up TMZ and see what's going on. What?
With TMZ, People Magazine, the tabloid magazines, everything that you can find out about celebrities, everything that people base their lives on what celebrities
are
doing.
It really makes me sick that, like, such as, like, a site like TMZ lets you send text to your phone that's about certain people. So it's like, I love Justin Bieber. I have to know what he's doing at all times. So whenever there's something that comes up about him, it'll get sent to my phone.
Justin Bieber just took a piss.
Well, see, that's,
oh my God.
That's the whole point. Interesting. Right? That's the whole point. I mean,
I wonder if he uses his right hand or his left.
People, they want to feel like they're a part of these celebrities' lives. And the movie Antiviral takes this to a completely different level, and is one that unfortunately could possibly happen. And that is, it doesn't give a year, but it's the near future. Let's just say 10, 15 years from now. There's a company called Lucas Incorporated that what they have is contracts with celebrities that if they get sick, they take a sample of their blood, synthesize the virus, and then you can pay to be injected with the virus of your favorite celebrity so that you feel more connected to them because you're sick just like they're sick.
What's the name of the company?
Lucas.
So that's what George Lucas did with all of his Disney money.
But the main character is named Sid. He works for Lucas, and he's a salesman. He also, because with like any successful business, there's always black market knockoffs.
Correct.
Well, he is also employed by a black market dealer. So what he does is every time a new disease comes in, he injects it into his own body and then sells his own blood on the black market. And I just find the concept fascinating. Is just hearing me talk about it, is it completely boring?
No, I mean,
because
it at least sounds original, and that's something
very original. I'd watch it.
That's something you just don't see anymore, is originality.
I don't know.
That's why when something comes along like Children of Sorrow, like Circus of the Dead, like Doom's Chapel. Yeah.
All three Bill O'Brien.
Yeah. And I didn't mean to do that, but Jesus, Bill, you know how to pick them. But when stuff like that comes along, it intrigues me because I'm like, oh, it's new. Or like Zombievers. Like, it's such a retarded-sounding film, but I watched the trailer. I'm like,
what if Zombievers starts out with a viral outbreak? I'll be super pissed.
You'll be like, this movie's ruined for me. I'll be like, Brad, Zombievers. Zombievers? No? Okay.
We've talked about it, or I've talked about it numerous times in the past. I'm a sucker for realism in movies, and when I find a movie like Antiviral that is original, but is also within the realm of possibility based on the way society acts towards celebrities already, I don't know. I find the whole concept fascinating.
That's fair.
They make sure when they synthesize the disease, they run it through a machine to make sure that they take out its ability to become communicable. So when they inject it into somebody, it doesn't, they're not going to get anybody else sick. But right. The fact that people are willing to pay to have their celebrities' diseases injected into their bodies is mind-blowing to me.
I'd go to the clinic and get George Clooney's herpes shot up in me. Why not?
You know? what if my favorite celebrity was like Pamela Anderson, you know?
Oh, yeah, instantly.
Well, that's the whole... There's one big-time actress, big-time celebrity in this film, in this movie. Not just from a character standpoint. Her character is like the biggest celebrity of her day. She's had... hepatitis or her, no, I'm sorry. She's had herpes somewhere in the past.
Come on. Who hasn't had the herpes derps? Am I right, guys?
No, but listen, this is the whole point of the commentary on society. The first sale that Sid makes in the film, he convinces this gentleman who is fascinated with this actress. He convinces him to spend more money to get our herpes disease injected. And he ejects it on the left side of his face because she had it on the right side of her mouth. So if she kissed him, it would show up on the left.
Hey, continuity. That's all I'm saying. Thank
but
you,
then,
whoever,
people would be
whoever the filmmaker is. Thank you for using continuity.
Somebody somewhere out there, if this technology is available, or if it ever becomes available, somebody out there is going to go and pay to give them herpes.
But as sad as that is, there's an even sadder fucker out there that had they not gone into that much detail would be bitching at home on their computer. Well, they had it on the left side, so it would have been on the right side. You know that would have happened.
I'm saying I appreciate the realism. I'm just saying it is scary because I don't think we're that far away from people willing to go that far to feel like they're connected to the celebrities
I mean,
that they love.
You have people rooting through their trash, like digging out hair clippings.
Exactly. I mean, society is so screwed up when it comes to celebrity. Everybody wants to be famous or wants to everybody to think they are famous. This takes that whole concept to a level that I'm just not ready to see society go, but I see it heading that direction.
What celebrity would you pay to get their disease from, Brad?
Miguel Nunez.
That's right. I knew it. David Alan Greer, right, Pugs?
Definitely David Alan Greer.
I'm
whatever disease he has.
Sickle cell anemia.
And I won't give the rest of the plot away, but it is pretty interesting. That big celebrity, the It celebrity, gets a new disease. He goes and takes a sample of her blood, immediately injects it into himself for the black market. She ends up passing away from the symptoms because it's a brand new disease and they don't have a cure for it. So then he's got to work to find a cure. But Malcolm McDowell has a little role in it. So that ends.
Hey, I'm all about Malcolm McDowell.
That lends some credibility. And he plays the celebrity's personal doctor, but even he's not immune to wanting to be celebrity. He's got three different celebrity skins grafted to his arm.
Well, that's fucked up.
Like, it's ridiculous, but it is so close to what society is willing to do right now.
I want all the listeners to go on our Facebook page and put which celebrity you would want a disease from the most.
Please. I want to know that as myself. That's a love you, Sonny. That is one of those things where why
I guarantee no one will say Chad Kroeger.
And if you do, stop listening to our show.
You deserve to really die.
But I don't know. I just, when I watched the film, I was completely unprepared for just blatant social commentary that is prevalent in the film. And I found the movie fascinating.
What's the name of the film again?
Antiviral.
And it's on what?
Netflix.
That's right,
God
people.
God bless Netflix for their endless movie streams.
Everybody should check that movie out. If you're like me and you hate celebrity, to me, it's a true horror film because I don't want my kids growing up in a world thinking that they just need to go and pay somebody to get them sick simply because an athlete's sick or a movie star's sick. I don't know. I just found it interesting and wanted to bring it up, and I wanted to compare it to others' viral outbreak films, but we're beyond past that.
I think that's going to outshine any other movie we can bring up because it's like you said, it's so... That's what's on so many people's minds, you know, celebrities every day. Like you said, they live on TMZ. They have apps on their phone that tells them everything.
I do not.
You lie. You told me when the Munster Tard from the Green Mile died, okay? You knew it.
I had to know it. I mean, he's the Munster Tard at the Green Mile.
I don't know. I just, please stop being obsessing over celebrity. I guess that's my...
So we're turning into a PSA now?
It pretty much is. It's my own personal PSA because that might be the single scariest film I've ever seen, and it's not even really a horror film.
Just because you feel like it's actually going to happen.
I'm like one of those people with the tinfoil hats on their head after watching that film in my sitting alone. You know, I want to like gather up all kinds of weapons and rations for the real apocalypse is going to be people paying to get sick. All right, 10 seconds of silence.
I agreed. Sorry, I nodded my head. Sorry.
Yeah, all right. He's cacks on his phone.
Well,
doesn't mean I'm not listening. I multitask.
I don't know about that.
But, I mean, am I overreacting to the realism of the film?
I mean, I think it's a little out there. I don't think we'll ever get to that point. I hope not.
Think about it locally around here.
We have kids killing other kids because of Slender Man, CAC. I don't think it's that far off.
Yeah, can we talk about that real fast? Yeah, Jesus Christ.
We can.
My God. Two 12-year-old girls stabbed their friend because they wanted to sacrifice to Slender Man. What the fuck, parents? Like, if this doesn't show parenting is doing something fucking wrong, I'm sorry.
So you mean to tell me, though, you don't really think if these chicks had a chance to get some, like, Miley Cyrus, like... nasty like taint disease that they wouldn't get that?
I'd like to hope not. Like I don't think so. I think there might be like one or two, but I don't think it's going to be as massive as this movie puts it out to be.
I mean, there are people out there that are, as we speak, getting plastic surgery to look more like a specific celebrity.
I'll agree with that. Yeah.
What's the point? What's to stop them from if this were to come about, what's to stop them from?
I mean, technically nothing, but it's like I said, I just think that that's so much to the extreme that I don't think that they would do it per se. That's just me.
But celebrities have stalkers that take things to the extreme all the time. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I am overreacting a little bit, but watch the movie and make up your own mind, I guess. I don't know.
I'm watching this movie when I go home tonight. I am ready. You have me sold, sir.
I'm definitely going to look it up for sure. I don't know if it's ever going to get that bad. Hopefully it doesn't.
Yeah, I mean, that's my point, is like, I can't say for sure that I'm ever going to be in a time where somebody's going to be like, hey, man, did you hear that, like you said, George Clooney has herpes, so I'm going to go out and get his herpes.
And then I hope his friend would just be like, you know, that's insane. Like,
I'd like to imagine, imagine there's somebody out there like Sonny that would instantly just be like, uh-huh, wait right here as he goes and gets a gun and kills them.
I mean, when you actually say it, it sounds ridiculous, but every time you turn the TV on, there's celebrity news somewhere, and it's because it feeds a growing need for people to live vicariously through these famous people that they put way too high on a pedestal and they idolize. Even if it's one person, there's somebody in this world that will be willing to do that because
there would. And like I said, I think there's people out there, but I don't think it would be as mass as this movie puts it to be. And I also think that there's certain government agencies that would put a stop to it really fast.
That's what they said when they invented the television, CAC. The television.
I'm probably going to
What's a television? I only know what an LCD TV is.
I'm probably going to get made fun of for this episode, but I don't care.
I mean, I understand your fear.
Hey, man, this movie scared you, and that's what horror movies are supposed to do. They're supposed to invoke fear in you, and this movie did the trick. I applaud this movie. I've not even seen it. But if you are that freaked out about it, it's been lingering on your mind this whole time, bravo movie. We need more filmmakers like that. Stop remaking 28 Days Later every month on Netflix, the same old movie over
every
and over.
28 days.
That's right.
I watched it a week and a half ago, and I've thought about that movie every day. And I like the film. It's not, you know.
Is it well done?
I thought it was well done. I'm willing to watch it again. But I wanted to bring it up because I've never seen anything like it, and it really made me think about just how crazy,
how fucking stupid society is.
Exactly, and how far we're willing to go to live vicariously through people that we idolize.
Fair enough.
I just thought it was an interesting thing to bring up.
That's fair.
So
I can't disagree with that.
That's what I wanted to bring up. I've wanted to, and we can, after you and Jared and Sonny and whoever else we want to have on, if you guys watch the film, we can get into a better discussion about it.
And please, if you're at home and you have Netflix and you've made it this far in the interview or into the show, go on.
First of all, we applaud you.
Yes. Go on, check it out. Shoot us a message at 245TStudios on Twitter or at
I'd love to get some
Facebook.com/FreshLemonPodcast.
I'd love to get some listeners on to talk about this movie just because I want to know if I'm overreacting. I want people to tell me. But we are going to take a quick break. Our sponsors are probably like, oh my god. But
why do we sponsor them? You're not giving us any money. Let's be honest here. We're just doing it for trade-offs.
Because we love it.
Yeah. We do. We do love them.
We'll be taking a quick break. We'll be back right after this. Please stick around if you're still here.
Hey, Brad, you ever heard about Monster Trading Company?
No, I haven't.
Remember that little thing we did with Monsters Wanted?
Oh, yeah.
Monster Trading Company is the only place you can get that on DVD. Did you ever want a remote control zombie?
Who doesn't want a remote control zombie?
Well, guess what? MonsterTradingCompany.com's got it. So if you're out there and you want some of this stuff, including Cthulhu, werewolves, ghosts, and of course, our favorite zombies, get it at MonsterTradingCompany.com. And we're back. And we got a little bit more to put on to that, because as we were off the air in between our nice commercial break to plug all those great sponsors of ours, like Monster Trading Company, your only home for Monsters Wanted on DVD.
That's right.
Go check it out at monstertradingcompany.com. I'm a cheap whore. Pugs and Sonny were over here talking, and there was more talk, and it was like such great talk that we had to bring it up. So being the giant U of L fans that me and Brad are, and hearing a UK fan talk about how batshit crazy most UK fans are, Pugs, take it away.
Well, that's what I was just saying. Like, you obviously know, being U of L fans, how crazy your fans can be.
Yes.
Yes. Ours are, if not more crazy than your fans.
Definitely more.
So, like he was saying about, you know, celebrity, like, you know, people going crazy over celebrities and whatnot. We had a fan get a tattoo of Willie Cauley-Stein on his ankle, on like just his face.
But why?
So he would stay at UK for another year.
Did it work?
Well, he stayed. Yes. Staying.
Okay. Can we try to get Willie on the show so we can be like, did you stay because of the tattoo? Yes or no?
You're the Twitter guy.
Well, I mean, that's what I'm saying. I mean.
And if the answer is no, would he have felt bad if he wouldn't have stayed?
Like, I mean, and take Big Blue Madness. Like, I mean, you have these people camping out for like 2 or 3 days, if not like weeks, week to get tickets.
And they're 18-year-old kids. Yeah. They're treating
they're young, like I think, 17 to...
I think my fiancé's job has the perfect T-shirt, and it's a T-shirt that says, "We are UK crazy." I mean, it's and, like and they're said, proud, I mean, of it. That's the worst part, is they're proud.
Like, I mean, I'm a UK fan. I love UK. I bleed blue. But some of our fans are crazy. Coach Cal actually says it all the time, like, you people are crazy.
Yeah.
And he's not lying.
No.
But do you think if the...
But if you ever want to bring a UK fan down, just be like, how's your football doing?
let's transition off sports. Do you think there's, in the entire fandom of any fan base, let's just take Kentucky out of it, let's just any sort of fandom... If the ability to, if one of those individuals got sick and you could, when you were so obsessed over them that you wanted to feel more connected, do you think there's anybody that would go and pay to have a
definitely
synthesized disease?
Like let's say like U of L fans.
There's always going to be that kind of person.
That's like saying like U of L fans, when Kevin Ware broke his leg, that a bunch of people's like, I want to be more connected. Snap.
No, but somebody did dress up as Kevin Ware for Halloween once and had a broken leg with a Kevin Ware jersey.
Why don't we have pictures? Why?
I'm just love saying it. They did. So
I love it.
But, I mean, Sonny brought it up. People are obsessed with Elvis, and
old women somewhere still have towels he wiped his sweat on 40 years ago.
40. I'm pretty sure it's a lot more than that at this point.
My grandmother actually might have one of those towels. She's a big Elvis.
What year did Elvis die?
And she's like 110. So.
Huh? 77, I think. Oh, that's like 50, almost 60 years ago now.
No, that's 40.
Is it really?
No.
Booyah.
Hold on.
87. Let's say
77. Oh, yeah. I keep thinking that back then's a lot older than that.
You have a cell phone. You can do math on it.
Fuck off. I fucked
like
up.
Like you said earlier, Brad, there's people that they go for plastic surgery to try to look like these people. I've seen a lot of people try. They look like Elvis. You've seen that. Impersonators.
The reason they do that is because they make money. You're not going to make any money by saying, I have the same cold that LeBron James has.
But people do that, though. You know, they try to look more like these people because it makes them feel important and special and more closer to that person.
They make money. They make money.
That's the impersonators,
but I know, but they still make money because they end up becoming impersonators. Name one person.
Not all of them.
Name. I want somebody to show me somebody that they know personally that has gotten plastic surgery to look like a fucking actor, actress, musician that did not somehow, some way get paid to become an impersonator. Like, if you're making the money, somebody's gonna fucking pay you, and you're gonna fucking do it. It may not be at first. It may not be your intention, but eventually it happens.
Well, I thought back because I won't talk about Antiviral that much too much longer, but as I was watching that movie, I started remembering an article that I saw probably 6 months ago. And we all know Jennifer Lawrence, the actress from Louisville.
We'll have Cohen on someday to talk about her.
Well, there's a woman, I don't think she was local. I think she was from another part of the country, but is obsessed with Jennifer Lawrence. And somebody somewhere told her that she looked a little bit like Jennifer Lawrence. And so She has spent upwards, I think, of $150,000 on plastic surgery to make herself look even more like Jennifer Lawrence, because one person told her that she kind of looked like her.
So you don't think there's that many like other crazy people out there that just do that?
I mean, I'm sure there are, but again, I just go back to, do you really think they're going to get a cold or some type of viral strain from that person just because?
Yes.
This is the first
and only fucking time I'm ever going to do this and say these words. I have better faith in humanity than this. The only time in my life I'll ever utter that.
I would like to. But if she's batshit crazy enough to sit at home and be like, you know, if one guy told her, you look like Jennifer Lawrence, and then spends $150K.
Hey, crazy girl, you'll never be Jennifer Lawrence until you get some of her snot on a Kleenex and rub it up your nose. You can spend all the money in the world, but you're not going to be her until you do that.
So then here's my question rebuttal now, though.
Breaking news, you still never will be. there's enough crazy people out there side that will do
it. Now, I think maybe I'm not being clear enough. Most people will go and have that done. But
percentage.
I would say a good 15 to 20% of the population would. They are that crazy.
Especially because the first idiot that does it is going to become a celebrity themselves.
Exactly.
Because it's going to be everywhere.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Soon he'll be selling his blood with Michael Jackson's blood in it too.
Bring it back to UK. I mean, they made a celebrity out of the gentleman who got the UK National Championship tattoo before.
Yes.
Before they lost?
I mean,
number nine.
Or the guy
they took him to the final game. He got a free pass. He was a free ticket.
He was on SportsCenter.
Or the wrestler Chicago that decided to get a big Mitt Romney tattoo on the side of his face. It was like, he's going to win. And then
I didn't see that.
Well, really? You missed that one?
People are made celebrities because of something they put on YouTube.
People are made celebrities by people who hate celebrities like us.
Yeah, I don't know. I find the whole thing.
Well, here's my question. Somebody make us fucking celebrities already for something dumb.
Jordan's AIDS, Cat.
You mean Magic Johnson?
Whatever.
Not Magic Jordan?
You have a catchphrase like, ain't nobody got time for that or something stupid. You know?
No, please, go
back. They all have catchphrases.
Dear God, go back. We have 3 seasons worth of me talking shit or being retarded. Find something and make it a meme. Make me fucking famous.
Well, here's the thing. I say all this, and I say that people watch the most ridiculous things and obsess over the most ridiculous things. And I'm not obsessed over this, but for a good 20 minutes before you showed up, I was watching brutal street fights on YouTube.
I'd like to throw this out here. We talk about people obsessing over stuff. Are we not obsession with horror?
I mean, we are, but I'm not going to. If Robert Englund goes and has,
if Miguel Nunez has a cold sore, do you want his cold sore?
He can inject it into me personally. That's a joke, people, by the way.
It's really not.
Miguel Nunez, please bring some diseases here for us.
David Alan Greer can infect me with anything he wants, and that's not a joke.
Anally?
I'm crazy.
He did admit he's UK crazy.
All right. You wanted to talk about Cabin Fever.
Cabin Fever is one of those movies that I did not see in theaters. I knew nothing about it, and I was there at Russ, who did the Crawling Chaos comic. We had him on a couple weeks ago, about a month ago now. And he was like, hey, have you seen this movie, Cabin Fever? And I was like, no. And he's like, well, we're going to watch it, but first I'm going to show you this special feature called The Rotten Fruits. We watch it. It's like claymation of this band it's all fruit, and they just like blow people's heads off and shit. And it's amazing. I was like
the California Raisins,
exactly like the California Raisins, except they kill people and shit. Like they're like the banana's like pissing on a hooker and shit, and it's fucking nuts. And I was like, well, whoever made this movie has my attention now. So then we watched Cabin Fever, and the first thing I said was, "Hey, isn't that the guy from Boy Meets World?" It all went downhill from there. It was just such a fucked up movie. Oh, my God.
I saw it in theaters, but it's the only time I've seen it.
I've watched it several times since then. It still has my favorite scene from most horror movies. It's probably my top 10 favorite of all time. It may be at number 10, but it's at least my top 10. And it's he's sitting there, and he thinks he's banging a chick, and she's sitting there moaning and groaning, and then he lifts up his pan, it's all bloody, and you're like, oh, she's ragging, and then it pans down. It's just a hole in the side of her leg from this disease, this skin-eating bacteria. And he's like, ah! Awesome. Such a great movie.
What's your number one favorite scene from a horror film?
I don't know at this point.
The black guy getting crushed to death in a cotton gin?
No, that's a good one, though. It made me laugh a lot. A fucking 2001 Maniacs, oh my God. I don't know.
Somebody crapping on a newspaper because they're supposed to be a werewolf?
No.
Don't worry
about it. Hatchet 2, when the couple's in the forest having sex and he gets his head chopped off and she has no idea.
That one's good. I don't know. I know up there I'd have to put, it's not really so much a death, but
killing.
Scene-wise, the headless yellow man from Return of the Living Dead is up there when he just runs around and he's like knocking into everything. And they're like, what the fuck's going on? That's fucking a great scene. I'm sorry.
There's no way that should be the number one movie that should be forgotten.
Yeah. Fuck you. Fuck you, whoever wrote that list. Fuck
terrible,
you.
Terrible. Did you see who favorited a tweet that you put out?
No.
You didn't?
No. Hold on. Let me see.
Go look it up now, because if I saw it correctly, your head will explode. Podcasting gold. Silence. Yes. While Corey looks at Twitter.
Pretty much.
Miguel Nunez, Miguel Nunez, Miguel Nunez, Miguel Nunez, Miguel Nunez, Miguel Nunez, Miguel Nunez.
Oh, wow. Thank you, Kevin Smith.
Yes.
I think I'm more excited than I tagged Kevin Smith's Tusk even more than I was Red State, and I loved that movie. And he favorited it. So thank you, Kevin Smith.
See, the things I notice and the joy I bring to your life.
Yeah. Now, if only we can just get him on here to talk about Tusk, it'd be okay.
Well, start tweeting at him.
Yeah. See, this is what I do. This is what I've done with Kevin Smith. Because I got kind of, you don't just say, Kevin Smith, come talk. That's not what happens. So what I do is whenever I talk about Tusk, because whenever there's a new update and I read it, I'm like, that sounds badass. I always tag him in it. This is the first, I've done about six of them. This is the first one he's favorited. So let's see what happens there.
Once we get a reply,
then we can start talking. Huh? It's a new movie, Tusk. It sounds fucking, it's like a monster flick. And like, all I really know so far about it, like not a whole lot's come out.
It starts with a disease.
Let's see if we have a full synopsis. Yeah, fuck you. I cannot say that fucking word to save
synopsis.
My goddamn
life. Magic. You're going to have to move. Oh,
wow. I love this even more now. When his best friend and podcast co-host goes missing in the backwoods of Canada, a young guy joins forces with his friend's girlfriend to search for him.
Nice.
Canada has backwoods? What?
Apparently. But here's the best part about who's in it. Just read this one name there and be like, where the fuck has he been at?
Haley Joel Osment. Where the have you been at?
So thank you, Kevin Smith, for giving us Haley Joel Osment back.
And for favoriting our tweet.
Yeah, and for favoriting our tweet. We're moving on up in the world. You know who's not in this movie, though? Apparently Johnny Depp's in it. Who's not in this movie is Bill Oberst. He should be in it because he needs to be in everything.
Yes.
Because he just makes it better. I think he's in some like Christian film I saw him do. Anyway, back to Cabin Fever. No, I fucking love the film. And but as much as I love the finger bang and it's in my top favorite horror scenes. My top favorite comedy scenes of all time is the running gag of the entire movie. They're in this backwoods country, big fat redneck dude's like, howdy here, how you doing? And he's like, what's the gun for? And he's like, well, that's for the niggers. And it's like, oh fuck, did he really just say that? And they're like, they look at each other like, what the fuck? At the very end, you see this Escalade pull up on rims, like blasting rap music, and they come in. And you see him grab the gun, and he's like fiddling around with it, look like he's loading it and shit like that. And turns around, he's like, I fixed it all up for you guys, nice and pretty. How you doing, my niggers? Like, it's just like an entire long movie joke. Cabin Fever.
Really?
Yes.
I forgot all about it. It's on Netflix.
I don't know.
I need to watch this movie immediately.
And then they have a hoedown during the credits after everyone dies from a terrible disease.
Why did you all not tell me about this earlier? Because this sounds awesome.
I forgot about that whole scene.
Oh, my God. That's like my favorite part of the movie. I just like, because I saw it and like, I did it too. Like, I did the exact same thing. When it happened, I was like, the fuck? Did they really just go there? Like, that's kind of fucked up. And then when it happened, because that's the very last scene of the movie, and when it hits, you just start laughing hysterically.
How do you feel about pancakes?
Oh, pancakes. Good Lord. It's this little kid that, like, just goes batshit crazy. But it became a great special feature because it's just entitled Pancakes. And then it's the same kid, and he's got this awesome bleached mullet that goes all the way down his back, but he's just a fucking kung fu master. But for some reason, his audition tape was him doing it to the Electric Six song Gay Bar.
Where's Jared at when you need him?
I know, right?
awesome.
You can go watch it. If it's on Netflix, you can go watch it. But I fucking recommend going out and buying this DVD because the special features alone are worth it because it's got the Rotten Fruits on there. It's got the pancake stuff. I mean, just the special features are hilarious. And it's just one of the many reasons I love Eli Roth. Speaking of, we should start doing that whole Crypt thing again. We need to start bringing your iPad in to start talking about the Crypt stuff. If you're not on it and you're an iPhone user, go out, download the Crypt. It's the best, I'm saying now, the best horror community on the planet.
Very much so.
And if you're a horror fan, if you're new to the horror fan and you want to learn more, you're an iPhone user, please go download it. It's just The Crypt. You'll find it. Yes, Pucks.
I'm doing it right now.
Go download it. Join up.
You mentioned that your knowledge of horror films.
Yeah.
Very, very limited.
I mean, it goes everywhere from comedy to 400 like
400 plus yeah. DVDs, but there's very few horror films.
But it goes from everywhere from like, here's some comedy horror shit to like straight up fucked up like people dying. Like
I did buy Frogs that I haven't watched yet.
He wants us to do Frogs on the show. He wants us all to come over and watch it.
Okay.
Frogs. And other people have actually requested it on our show too.
It was
so
$2.
I can get behind it.
Half price.
What's the tagline?
Actually, I don't remember.
Today, the swamp. Tomorrow, the world.
That's right. I forgot all about that.
Such a good.
It's been a year since I've bought it. Yeah. I just have not watched it.
And then there's Cabin Fever 2. And while I don't say Cabin Fever 2 is a good movie, it's got its own little bits of fucked up. It pretty much starts off from Ryder Strong, who's the lead character of the first one, is kind of there. And I'm still not even sure if it's really him. It just kind of looks like him all mutated. And then he dies, and then the water supply that was in the lake that he died in, they're using it. Yeah, it's contaminated, and they're using it to fill waters. That's the Crypt, yeah.
Right on.
And so then it ends up going to this high school prom thing, and it's at that point it just gets fucked up because it's just gory out the ass. I know Eli Roth had nothing to do with Cabin Fever 2, but just watching it, it's just fucking hilarious because like the guy's like dick falls off and he's like oh no because he's like he's dying
not on prom night
yeah and it's just like
there was so much time now
it's just like it drops it's just like a splat it's like like oh it's so bad I just fucking love it and then like the guy like cuts his own hand off like there's a bandsaw and he's just like and like pushes it through and shit and he's just like oh I'm fine, and then falls down. Like, it's fucking, it's so bad. But again, I love gore movies. I love practical effect gore movies. You can tell every one of these fucking effects is practical. It's some guy sitting there with, like, his arm and a fucking, his elbow bent and, like, a fake arm sticking out spraying blood. I love that. I'm sorry I do. Mm-hmm. Please, dear God, more filmmakers use practical.
See, Corey likes movies with fake arm spraying blood, and I like movies that make you think.
Corey likes like Adam's Family.
I mean, I do have both movies in every season.
I was just talking about the scene where they're putting on the play and they slice each other's throats, and this is obviously
true story. That is the scene that got me wondering about special effects in the first place.
Really?
Yes. Growing up, seeing that, I was like, "That's so cool! I want to do that." And now we fast forward a couple years later, and I have done that.
A couple.
Yeah.
Yeah, didn't they slice her hand off? And you could just yeah. It was just the long sleeves.
But the best part is like. They cut it off and they're spraying all the blood on Wednesday and he turns and like it just the shot of the crowd looks like they're at a GWAR show which is
splash
man. Love it. Awesome. Loved it. Loved the Addams Family. They should redo Addams Family.
I'm getting you off topic. I'm sorry.
I don't care.
That's all right.
Yeah, now they're coming out with Cabin Fever 3 and it's apparently animated so I don't know what to think about that. or it's like CG.
Maybe it's done like the claymation special feature.
You know, I'd be okay if it was done like the oblongs, like just like a really shitty type. Like, I'd be okay with that because I love that.
The oblongs was awesome.
But it looks like it's going to be like CG like they try to do with that shitty Night of Living Dead reanimated, which I thought was a great idea. It was like all the original cast is back and we're going to shoot it shot for shot. And then it's like, yes. So it's just like they're older now. Okay, cool. This could be fun, I guess. And it's like, and it's CGI. And you're like, never mind. Because I remember Jared was really amped about it, and I showed him the trailer, and I pissed in his Cheerio
like,
so hard.
It looks like I'm looking at a PlayStation game.
Yeah. Oh, God, that's so bad.
But anyway, we'll leave you guys alone for the night.
If anyone's going out tonight to have some unprotected sex, Cabin Fever taught me that all you have to do is pour Listerine on your penis afterwards. Yep. Cures everything.
Right. That's right. Remember, don't pick up any hitchhikers that look like Eli Roth. I learned that from Cabin Fever and 2001 Maniacs, because he's in both movies as the exact same character.
It's true.
Oh, so great.
But anyways.
And if Eli Roth is listening, please make Thanksgiving.
Yes, please. Dear God, make Thanksgiving the movie.
I did see the trailer for that. It was pretty epic.
That is all I have to say. Good night.
After Green Inferno, make Thanksgiving. Because Green Inferno looks good. Go check out the trailer for Green Inferno because it looks fucking phenomenal. But it's time to do our sign-off. Brad, do you remember everything or you want me to do it?
I can do it.
Well, go ahead and shout everything out.
Oh, places you can find us. Facebook, facebook.com/returntolivingpodcast. On Twitter at 245T Studios. You can listen to the show on Stitcher, on iTunes, on TuneIn, and brand new to United Cypher, along with our friends at Motion Picture Meltdown. So, shout out to Rosie.
Don't forget to check out our website.
Website, which is returntolivingpodcast.com. You can go on there. You can leave us comments. You can, if you're interested in seeing what we look like, why? But you can find pictures of us there.
And if you've needed any more incentive to go follow us on Twitter and go like us on Facebook, here in the next couple of weeks, we're going to be starting our Summer of Horror giveaway.
Yes. The first item up that we're going to give away for all you haunters out there is a very well-made...
Personalized. Custom.
Custom hammer that you can use to just completely bludgeon...
That's right.
All the customers to death. And that would be courtesy of Slaughterhouse Studios.
It is foam weighted. So
it is.
But very highly detailed. Oh, my God.
Yeah, they're going to be sending it our way shortly. They're waiting. They're just waiting for Midwest to end.
We got to let them calm down a little bit.
But that'll be coming up in the next few weeks. And we've got in July, Cricket Creations is giving us a scarecrow mask.
That's right.
Which will...
So if you don't,
it was going to save you about $300. Yeah.
So if you don't know what it is, check out Crooked Creations.
That's with a K.
Yes, K's.
Crooked Creations with two K's.
Yep.
.com.
Go check them out. Check out their scarecrow mask. That's one of the ones you're going to be getting. So they're really cool. I got to see them at Transworld. Oh my God, I loved them. They're creepy as hell looking.
Dan's a good guy, and so is Al from Slaughterhouse Studios.
And then in August, right in time for haunt season. Our good friend Tristan over at Flatline Radio, which you can check out, flatlineradio.com.
That's another place to hear us.
Yep, another place to hear. He's probably playing us today at Midwest, let's be honest, because he does that a lot. He's going to be giving a haunted house a very own customized radio spot that's going to be, we'll use on our show to get played. I think he's also going to be using it on his, and then it'll also be given to you for your local radio for your radio spot, and it's professionally made through Flatline Radio. So there's three huge giveaways. Go like the Facebook, go follow us on Twitter, because those are the only two ways you're going to be entered. It's Facebook and Twitter.
We're going to try to get some care packages,
yes,
courtesy of our good friend Paul. By the way, Brett Hayes.
Oh God,
called us out because we're so far up Phobia's butt, but at the same time. They're really good friends with him. So,
that's right.
I didn't realize this. They've collaborated on if you like haunted houses and you live in Indiana, or if you're just curious about Indiana haunts, they have an Indiana haunts Facebook page that they currently co-run. So you should go.
And you know what we'll do? Come this haunt season, we'll have an Indiana special. How about we do that?
We can do that.
For the month of, say, August, we'll do nothing but Indiana haunted houses.
We can do that. I'm sure we can do that.
Let's get it going. On top of that, don't forget to check out Nightmare in Edgewood's Phobia.
Yes.
And Fear Fair, Indiana Scares Haunted House.
That's true.
Another official sponsor of the Return of Living podcast.
Very much. Very much a bunch of really good guys who they like to party.
Yeah.
And I'm like...
And we get to thank Paul for our kick-ass logo we have now.
Yes, and I'm going to try to talk to him soon about maybe getting us some DVDs because he creates cover art for all the Warner Brothers archive DVDs. So, And I just found out, at some point, we're doing a cannibalism show, and I'm contacting...
actual cannibals?
Well, college professors.
Fine, young cannibals?
I can play some She Drives Me Crazy.
You know, he had mentioned he wanted to do this show, and I looked up legalization of cannibalism, and it's actually not illegal in the state of in the United States.
That's crazy.
What is illegal about it is mutilating someone else's body and killing people. That's the or desecration of a corpse. That is what's illegal about it. So if, say, Graham here, Pugs with a Z, as we know him.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Say he wants to taste his own flesh, it is completely and 100% legal for him to cut a piece of his meat off and grill it.
What if I die and in my will I leave you like my arm?
I don't think it's legal.
Try your discretion.
But I don't think it's legal. We'd have to Brett, I know you're listening. Let me know. Is that legal?
I don't know anybody's listening at this point.
Tukak, I give my arm. Do with it as you will.
First he's giving me a handy, then I'm eating it.
No, this...
on second thought.
What I was going to say is I found out in doing a research on possibly doing a cannibalism special, because Netflix has a whole plethora of cannibalism-related films, but probably the one that is the most... well known, but at the same time still underrated, is Ravenous from '99 with Guy Pearce. I found out our good buddy Paul worked on that film.
Really?
Yes.
What did he do?
I don't know, but he told me to remind him how hard he worked on that film. Because
guess what? Set up an interview with Paul for our next show or the show after.
I will do that.
There you go. See, simple.
We will do a cannibalism show. We'll have Paul talk about Ravenous
and come on to talk about Phobia. Finally,
that's
good
right.
Lord, we need to talk to that man.
All right. Anyway, we've been rambling on for way too long.
Yep.
About lots of nothing, but that's okay.
Hey,
I enjoyed it.
All I'm saying is Matt Turner, okay? That show, literally after it was aired or after it came out, I listened to it and was like, how can anybody get through that show? It's so, so much everywhere. It's not funny. And then a day later, I look and it's over 150 play counts, and I'm like, well, rock whatever.
On. Rock on. Anyway, we are your host. We are your hearse. It is 12:44 in the morning. We are your host. I'm Brad Bamforth.
I'm Corey Kirkpatrick.
Magic Jordan.
With a Z.
We love you guys. RLTLP Nation.
And everything. Isn't that a beauty?
So
look
man.
At that, honey. Looks like it's brand new.
Yeah, well, man.
Hi, my niggas. How are you?
What's up, nigga? What you doing? Where you been, man? Where you been?
Snap. I can't do it like y'all.